Lecture 5, The Social Virtues.
Thus far, we have been considering Aristotle's Nicomachean Ethics and emphasizing his theory of the virtues, in particular his sense of the four cardinal virtues which classical antiquity liked to emphasize, namely, courage, temperance, justice, and prudence. These four cardinal virtues have been called cardinal virtues in the history of the tradition of ethics by virtue of the word cardo, cardinus in Latin, which means hinge, and it is thought that these are the hinge virtues on which the door of life swings back and forth. If they are well oiled and well disciplined, a person's life will indeed readily proceed in good order. Today in this lecture, we'd like to consider Book 4. And in Book 4, we find a whole host of other virtues which Aristotle is also interested in discussing. And one sees by his treatment of these other virtues the way in which his whole ethics is rightly called a virtue ethics rather than, say, an ethics of law or an ethics of utilitarian advantage. This is an ethics which is designed to look at so many different aspects of life and to seek excellence in these various aspects. In particular, within Book 4, one finds Aristotle's treatment of virtues concerning money, concerning honor, concerning anger and our temper, and concerning some of the other aspects of social living. And what he's trying to do here is to identify the virtue according to his usual pattern. Aristotle, the biologist who's now focusing on ethics, loves to discover patterns, and he likes to see those patterns repeated. I don't think he forces the data, but he does have a very strong format along which he tries to organize his material. And that idea of a peak of excellence, on the sides of which are two extremes, excess and deficiency. That same pattern is recurrent here in the discussion of the virtues concerning money and honor and temper and social life. What we'll do in this lecture is to consider those four in turn, and in particular to make some comparisons between the things that he thought were virtuous and some later ideas on the subject, because on these particular thoughts, some commentators have raised some serious objections. The first one that he's concerned with are the virtues of money, and he identifies two. One he calls liberality, and the other magnificence. They're not really virtues that are distinct in kind. Rather, they are distinguished with respect to how much money one has to deal with. He thinks that everyone should have a certain kind of liberality, that is, a certain sense that they have money, but money is for use, and that there's a proper use and a right use at the right time and in the right place with the right people. On the other hand, there are people of considerable wealth, and for them he proposes a special case, namely the virtue of magnificence. But they have the same basic structure. What these two virtues, liberality and magnificence, deal with is how we handle the wealth we have. And he's thinking in particular about the way in which we use our wealth, the way in which we spend it, the way in which we might give away part of it. He will have an entire book, Book 5, devoted to questions of justice, which we'll consider in our next lecture. And in that lecture on the virtue of justice, we'll see the way in which Aristotle's virtue ethics does also have some strong sense of obligation, some strong sense of right and wrong. But here, we're not dealing with obligation. We're rather dealing with a somewhat aristocratic virtue, the notion of how to use our money well. His idea with regard to liberality is that liberality stands as that mean or peak of excellence in between prodigality and meanness. Prodigality, much like the story of the prodigal son, prodigality refers to a wasteful use of one's money, a sense of spending much or giving much away, but doing so in a way that is simply wasteful. It wastes one's own substance. It wastes one's family's property. It wastes the things that are available for use on things that are trivial or overemphasizes. Sometimes we say the person overdoes it.